WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Free your mind!
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around, turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go, let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What?
Come on, give that
set. I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. This is the weekly Tuesday morning show that's heard around the world. WPFW is a worldwide broadcast now. I want to thank all of our listeners who've been emailing, texting, and sending stuff that we don't even know how to respond to from other countries. But thanks anyway for your interest. As usual, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey. U.S. expands travel ban to 25 African countries, including Ethiopia, Ghana, Nigeria, Malawi, Senegal, and Cameroon. Excuse me. The U.S. travel ban expansion is poised to significantly impact Africa's tourism sector, with 25 African nations now facing the threat of full or partial entry bans. Countries like Egypt, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, and others are under scrutiny due to national security risks, unreliable identification systems, and high rates of visa overstays. With a strict 60-day deadline to comply with new U.S. standards, African nations are now navigating an uncertain future as they try to avoid further harm to their crucial tourism industry. Incarcerated students caught in the crosshair of Trump's war on education department, On March of this year, the Federal Department of Education announced a purge of nearly half of its employees, leaving students relying on federally insured student loans, facing processing delays, and potentially predatory loan services now unshackled from oversight. But no students were more at risk than those in prison because they can't easily call or email a loan servicer, nor can they log onto a website with information about their accounts, leaving in limbo some 700,000 prisoners who became eligible in July 2023 for Pell Education Grants, which is not administered by states. Ooh. And lastly, travelers entering the United States are facing intensifying scrutiny, not just of their luggage, but of their smartphones, laptops, and other digital devices, as border agents increasingly conduct warrantless searches, sometimes copying personal data for further analysis. Civil liberties groups and other legal experts argue these practices erode constitutional privacy protection, yet efforts have largely upheld the government's expansive authority at the borders. Ooh, in an era when smartphones and laptops chronicled our lives with intimate detail, crossing the U.S. border poses a unique challenge to personal privacy. Government agents can inspect smartphones, laptops, and tablets with minimal oversight, but robust encryptions and careful data management can shield sensitive information from unwanted scrutiny. And that's been the grapevine. But before we get off the grapevine, I just want to say happy birthday, a shout out to a good friend. He's 81 years old, used to play for the Washington Redskins. In fact, he had number 28 before Darryl Green had it back in the 60s. His name is Dick Smith. And every Friday for the last 30 years, he's been running the jazz night at Westminster Church. Excuse me. Happy birthday to you, Dick. Old Tommy's 81 years old. And that's been the grapevine. And thank you for tuning in. Boy, I got a cold. Now we get to our topic. This morning, even though Father's Day was 2 days ago, we were able to enjoy or share into a Father's Day celebration at Union Temple Baptist Church, the church that my wife and I attend frequently. And they had their 13th year Father's Day brunch at Union Temple, and it was off the chain. And it's one of the few programs that I know of where they give a Father's Day awards in several different topics. And one of them was the Incarcerated Father of the Year, the Returning Citizen Father of the Year, Community Father of the Year, I mean, and three, four more. And we have two of the gentlemen here with us this morning. One of the gentlemen who have started the program, Dr. Frank Malone, and Dr. Edwin Chapman, our good buddy and friend who was elected or selected as the Father of the Year. I wish he was my dad, Dad. How you doing, Dr. Chapman and Frank Malone? Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
And same
good
to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know Father's Day was a couple of days ago, but we wanted to deal with this particular topic because I'm a father, and I was at the service that y'all had Sunday morning at Union Temple. You, Frank Malone, Tyrone Parker, and my good friend from Mississippi. That guy from Mississippi. Oh, that was a funny joke. What? Yeah. Okay, so we're having the same issue, but we'll work it out. So the program Sunday at Union Temple was, and it was off the chain. And Dr. Anika
Wilson Brown,
she gave a speech that knocked it out the box. I mean, I want to thank her. It's one of the first women preachers that I respect and listen to, and she is dynamic, and she's a carbon copy almost of her father, Dr. Willie Wilson. And Willie Wilson, and she was, believe me, she was off the chain. Thank you, Dr. Anika Wilson, for your service. We wanted to talk about Father's Day in Washington, D.C. and all around the country. And I know you were selected as the Father of the Year, Dr. Chapman, but before we get to you, we're going to start off with Dr. Frank Malone. How many years have you been doing this Father's Day brunch program in the city, Dr. Malone?
This year makes 13 consecutive years, and we're honored. This year our theme is the Fathers and Families Reunion. Reconnecting the fathers to their families and children. And Dr. Chapman was the obvious choice, the right father at the right time in the right place.
Why do you say it was the right choice?
Because where we are now, we have had Kamal Ali, Dr. Roger Mitchell, Robin White, A. Scott Bolden. It goes on and on.
Okay.
But at the right time, Dr. Chapman steps up when we're getting a handle on substance abuse. What's going on in our city? We have lost 3,000 souls to violence and substance abuse in the last 3 to 4 years. Now it's time to take control for men to stand up, show up, speak up, and lead by example.
Okay, Dr. Chapman, excuse me, you've been on the front line for years, and you got a beautiful daughter who's an outstanding athlete, and she's making all kinds of waves, and how do you feel, Doctor, about being the Father of the Year? You don't have any sons. You just have a daughter.
No, I have, Brooks, I have both a son and a daughter. So and remember.
You didn't tell me that, Doctor.
Remember, I said that graduating from Howard undergrad school, graduation from medical school was not at the top of my list. The number one thing at the top of my list was being married for 49 years. Number two was the birth of my son.
Wow.
And number three was the birth of my daughter.
Wow.
Number four was having been asked to speak for 1 minute at Union Temple Baptist Church 30 years ago before the Million Man March.
Yes.
And yesterday was number 5. I was blown away. I really don't know what to say. You know that we've been working together to bring the faith community, the academic community, and the medical community together as a team to deal with these problems. So
yes.
Dr. Malone has really forged that model by joining forces with the Howard University School of Social Work. And they are setting the blueprint. So 100 fathers and the Howard University School of Social Work with Dr. Robert Cosby have laid that foundation.
You know, it's one of the things that that gets me is, what is Father's Day, particularly in our community? Because we know that a lot of kids are being raised without fathers, or they're raising themselves. And to have a father in this day and age, in this time, to get involved in someone's life, and particularly, we know that that incarceration or over-incarceration has left a muddy footprint on the U.S. But what you may not realize is how many children are silently suffering from the consequences of having a parent or loved one in jail. And it's like 55,000 women are in prison now who are mothers. Over half a million of the 2 million people are fathers. And taking the father away from the kid's life or removing him from the kid's life has devastating consequences. But you are on the front line, Doc. You got 2 kids. But I call you got like 100 or a couple hundred, because you got Joe Henry and some more that be with you every week. Guys that you've serviced and treated 20, 30 years ago, and they're still your patient beyond that. They are your friends. I never saw a doctor who treated people, and not only did he administer the medication, but he administered friendship, love, and compassion. So what you've done, man, I take my hat off to you, and I'm glad, excuse me, that Frank Malone then was able to recognize your contribution to the community as the Father of the Year. How did your wife take this award, Doc? Because we saw her smiling and jumping up and down in her seat when you went up on the stage.
Well, you know, we took a lot of pictures on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And she sent them out to all of her girlfriends and club members. I asked her if she sent my little speech out saying that being married was number one. Now, she didn't send that out. But but again, you're absolutely right. A recent study showed that there are 321,000 foster children in this country as a result of parents either being incarcerated or dying due to substance abuse. So, you know, this was something that was never talked about over the past 60 or 70 years as drugs swept through our community. Nobody talked about grandparents having to raise their grandchildren and the fact that incarceration and death or drug addiction, the damage that is done to the Black community. So these are the kinds of things that Dr. Malone and Dr. Cosby are able to bring to the forefront.
Dr. Malone, I've been on you and Dr. Chapman. We've been going to meetings almost every week. I see one or both of y'all. We've been at meetings all over this city. And you're all on the front line, and you're the founder of 100 Fathers. What is 100 Fathers, and what role could they play in this mess that we're going through right now in our community?
I want you to know, first of all, fatherhood cannot be celebrated in a day. Fatherhood is 365, 24/7. That's what it has to be for Black fathers. And just because you are a father to some children, you got to be father to the community, to the other children that don't have a father. That's how this thing works. Now, we are a fatherhood organization that's transforming lives. We're in the schools working with the young men, teaching them how to be a man, how to respect our women, and how to understand this plan that's working against them. You see, according to the plan, the oppressor wants to take the male out, take the men out, take our credibility away, and make somebody else the head of the household. But we're not having that. The father has to be the leader of the household, just like Adam and Eve. Ain't no changes in that. But men have to lead by example. We have to have integrity, love, command, and deserve respect. When we do that, we assume our place. Nobody can take it from us. Power has to be seized. It is not given. And so the father has to be reasonable, responsible, and be in the lives of our children and family. Stand up in our community. Keep our children safe. That's who we are. We're the safe passages. We're the man, the block. We're in the schools. In fact, we had a contract for the state of Maryland. We're working with fathers in 10 counties out there, trying to lift them up to do the work that only a father can do for a young man. Young man got to see a man to be a man.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Frank, because we've been meeting every week with the folk at the Chili Bowl for time to get involved. And we've been talking about what we could do to stop the violence and the killings and all this. Stop the violence and killings in the city. So what I wanted to suggest or say is that I always been talking, I mentioned this to you, Doc, about the elephant syndrome, how in Africa and India, the elephants who were killed for their eye, their tusk, and their ivory. And they killed all the parents, the mothers and the fathers. The mothers took the tusk. And these young orphan elephants went berserk and destroyed everything in their path. So they went out in the woods, in the jungle, and found several old male bull elephants and brought them old jokers in and introduced them to the youngsters. And in a matter of short time, the young elephants stopped terrorizing, ravaging, and destroying the whole village because they had their mother was taken. This is the same thing that we're seeing now in terms of these kids are all out of control. They're doing whatever they wanted to do. The mother's in prison, the father's in prison. And we have mentors. We have horses, but we don't have the resources. You got a lot that we can learn from animals. And when the elephants did that, this same scenario can be transplanted here to use these elderly OGs on the front line. And we're doing it with 100 fathers, or what you're doing with Dr. Chapman over in Tyrone Park and them, the Lines of Concern, men, a group called Cruise. These guys are risking their lives every day on the front line to try to get our kids back in line, back in order. So the role of a father is crucial because a fatherhood can make or break a child's life. Fatherless children are more likely to live in poverty, commit crimes, and suffer from mental health problems. These numbers are tragic. And we have to do something about it. And what you gentlemen are doing, and for y'all to stand up and acknowledge and give a award to these gentlemen who are fathers who set the example, because we oftentimes heard too often, you ain't nothing. You a deadbeat dad, you know. And it has collateral consequences, these kind of negative statements, and it just destroys every fiber of our community. So why did you come up with this idea, Frank, about celebrating fathers? And it was five fathers celebrated last Sunday. Can you name the five categories?
Yes, it was the father of the year. That was Edwin Chapman. Then we did the religious father of the year, Bishop George E. Holmes, a man who has represented us in Congress, in the Senate, with the presidents of the United States, and has recognized Fathers of the Year for the president. Yes, we had to get him in. Then we had Norman Nixon from Union Temple, a man who worked and walked with Marion Barry, who still continues to be a community father, lifting up our youth. Then we lifted up Prince Ham, one of my sons I have adopted as Young Father of the Year. because he's in the jails. He's on the streets. He's in the schools. He's in the community doing the work that a father must do. And then finally, Mr. Curtis Dixon. And I want to say Tyrone Parker is also the co-chair of the DMV Fatherhood Coalition. We selected Curtis Dixon, an incarcerated father who still loves his family, works with them, and exhibits the traits that an involved, loving father must give to his family.
You know,
those are the five categories.
Those are the five categories. And I know a couple of years ago, we went over there at Union Temple and they had a couple of years ago at one of the Father's Day celebration they had at Union Temple, we had a gentleman by the name of Earl Coleman Bay, who did 45 years in prison. And yep. He was able to raise his kids from prison, due in large part due to his wife. Because everywhere they transferred this gentleman, his wife would move to that particular state and bring up several kids with her. And three times a week, he would call from prison to talk to him about the homework, what they're doing, and that kind of stuff for 45 years. And that guy got the Father of the Year award. And there's a couple of guys like that around in this city who've done 20, 30, 40 years, but they maintain a close community contact with their kids through the telephones, through video visiting, through regular personal visits. So it's important and crucial that we recognize the role that fathers play, particularly now, because of all this foolishness with the crime, nobody can reach the kids, they're out of control and they're doing whatever they want to do. We need fathers. Dr. Chapman, what road do you see? Because you're over there on Benning Road in Northeast DC, and your office is surrounded by guys who down on their luck, homeless, don't have nothing, nowhere to go, et cetera. But you are not only providing medicinal support, you are also giving parental support. You're helping them. You're doing work above and beyond what you went to med school for. So what's your take on this, Doc?
So Roach, you attended a meeting about a year ago with the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities. The CEO is Mr. Floyd May. And we brought together the OGs and ladies that standing for the Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies, and also the CRUES, which is Communities Respecting Everyone's Will to Survive. That's led by Brother Edward Tate. And we had an idea that if we could bring the faith community, the OGs and ladies, and the CRUES together, that we could go after grants and contracts to really work with people in the community, people coming back who are incarcerated. So we actually got two grants. You attended the meeting. They made the announcement. So we have a grant for returning citizens with opioid use disorder, and we have a second grant with opioid use disorder over the age of 55. So by bringing the CRUES and the OGs, we're reaching out into the community. We're actually getting profiles of people. There are over 500 residents in the DC Detention Center now on buprenorphine and methadone for opioid use disorder. So we know when they come out of jail that they don't have a job. Frequently, they don't have insurance, and they don't have a place to stay. So by bringing the faith community, the OGs, the CRUES all together, we're now working with those in a pilot demonstration project. And this is the first that I know of anywhere in the country where our community has come together in this format. So again, by connecting with the Howard University School of Social Work, we can formulate and structure this in a formal way with Dr. Robert Cosby, who's been just a gem in supporting this and understanding from an academic standpoint.
Okay. You know, excuse me, this cold has got me. Father's Day was Sunday, and it was the first time in my life. I got three sons. Two of my sons, my third son, we haven't spoken 3 years. We're estranged from each other. But my other two sons had a party, and my grandson. So Sunday, I was the first time in my life that I had a Father's Day event with my sons and my grandson, and it brought tears to my eyes. So it was the kind of program that everybody should join to get this kind of acknowledgement later on in my age. And I've never, ever, ever had a day with my father. I never went nowhere with my father, never had dinner with him. He never took me nowhere. And I didn't know what a father's role was supposed to be until I went to prison and saw how guys were relating to these young guys coming in. And to acknowledge fathers, and we see them all around the city, we have a homeless situation that 70% of them are fathers and returning citizens. They can't get a job when you come out of prison because you got a record. And if you do get a job, the job you get paid, your take-home pay won't take you home. And folk are looking for their fathers to come out. And I got guys that did 40, 50 years coming out, and their kids are now grandparents. And they're trying to navigate how to get back or connect to the kids' lives when they never had the connection in the first place. So to recognize fathers, even though we've been the brunt of a lot of negative stuff for a lot of reasons, whether it's fair or not, it existed. So to be able to get fathers involved to do what we need to do, because we can stop some of this foolishness. The fathers can stop some of this foolishness that's going on in the street. We just got to get together, organize, and mobilize. But before we go any further, I want to say, if you want to call in to join this conversation with Dr. Frank Malone or Dr. Edwin Chapman, the phone number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. If you want to join this conversation, we want to find out, how was your Father's Day? What was your Father's Day experience like? Please call in and share that with us. We'll take our first caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Question or comment?
Good morning, Roach. This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany, man.
Boy, I knew you'd be there, Rick. Boy, you don't never disappoint. How you doing over there, Rick? You from Stuttgart, right?
Yeah, I ain't messing with you. I ain't messing with you, man. Your memory is gone. Your memory is gone. But let me say Roach.
Go ahead.
First of all, I wish you the best with repaired relations with your sons. Father's Day means a lot to me because I never knew my father. And I think it's a blessing when men can turn their lives around after prison and get involved in the lives of their children. This is a great blessing for black people, considering what we have suffered. Slavery, after slavery, Jim Crow, and the mass incarceration system. I also want to say to Dr. Malone, sometimes power is seized, but it is best between a man and a woman if power is shared.
Yes, I agree.
I witnessed a lot of fighting in my household because my mother was without a man. And I witnessed grown men fighting over my mother when this was ridiculous. When you put your cards on the table, if a woman sees a man that she respects, she will share that power. And to Dr. Edwin Chapman, I would ask you, how old are you and what is your medical specialty?
Go ahead, Doc. You got it.
So I'm 79 years old. I practiced internal medicine and cardiology for the first 25 years. But 25 years ago, a friend of mine was a grant writer for one of the community action agencies. And he needed a physician to write in because they were going they were trying to reopen one of the methadone clinics. And I tell everybody that that experience changed my life because for the first time, instead of treating high blood pressure and diabetes like on a conveyor belt, I had to treat the whole person. And I had to sit there and listen to the trauma that these individuals had been through multiple generations. And it was just what you described, Rick. This was by design for the past 400 years. So every time we find a way out, we have opposing forces that find a way to pull us back. And that's the situation we're in today. And we understand what anti-DEI is all about, anti-CRT. They want us to forget our history, and we're not going to forget it. We're not going to destroy the work of our ancestors who lived and died under worse circumstances. Now we have all the technical capabilities, writing, studying, et cetera, and in order to fight back. And that's what this is all about. It's called resilience.
Thank you. We take our next caller. Question, tell our next caller.
Let me answer it.
Okay,
about
come
the
on,
power
minute, come
thing.
Come on.
Come on. Wait, I just want to say we're backed by Black women for positive change. If we work side by side with our Black women, my wife is my executive director, making things happen. Men and women got to share that and work side by side, not in front, not in back. Side by side.
Go ahead, right. Thank you. Well, this is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world, and you're listening to Crossroads with Mertine and Roach. They want to thank you for tuning in. This is the one part of the segment where we wanted you to call in and share your Father's Day experiences, because it's over 2 million people locked up in prison, and over 500,000. Of fathers or more, and the kids are suffering. So being able to recognize and acknowledge the father's role is something that's crucial that we need to get involved in. And that's the missing link to help reduce some of this foolishness in this community, is reconnecting with the fathers and bringing them involved on this community. We'll take our next caller, please. Question or comment?
Is
hello, you on air?
Yes, hello. Is that me?
Yeah, you got it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hi. What I wanted to say is not only are our fathers being taken away from the children, but our children are being taken away from the fathers.
Yes.
The latest escapade of the governor, and unfortunately, it's by our own people. The governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, his latest thing, which was applauded by the racist Fox 45 news here, was to basically fire Vincent Schiraldi, who was trying to protect our children from the abuse and from these traumatizing events. His first act in office was to sign a bill that repealed the incarceration of 10 years old, reduced the age to incarcerate the children as adults to 10 years old. That was one of his first acts. He then signed a bill that limit the compensation for sexual abuse survivors in Maryland. So instead of this whole thing about saving money, how you could save money is by not assuring that there is not this abuse in the first place. And so instead of doing that, he signs a bill limiting the compensation. Then he vetoes a bill to study reparations. So you know this, and then we have the state's attorney, Ivan the Terrible Bates, who's right along with it. So, you know, these are Democrats, these are our own people, and, you know, they're further traumatizing. And now, after they've gone after our men, now they're going after our male children.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for calling.
So
Anyone want to respond to that?
I want to answer that.
Go ahead, Frank.
First of all, the National Organization of Parents has graded each state with how they deal with fathers and families. Do you know that the state of Maryland got a D minus? So there's a lot of legislative work that has to be done. We tried to pass shared parenting last year in Maryland and couldn't get it. So we got to look at the whole and not just a single individual. Yeah, we got to look at changing the system and legislating that change and voting for change.
Thank you. You hit it right on the head. We'll take our next caller. The phones are jumping off the hook. Come on, we'll take the next caller. Question or comment, please.
Hello,
you on air?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Brown, Roach.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Chapman. This is Mr. Bing. Larry.
Hey.
I was just calling to make a brief comment. First of all, I appreciate your show, Roach, and all that you do. But I wanted to say to all the callers that Dr. Chapman, like you said earlier, man, he's a father to a lot of us, man. But more importantly, his friendship. It was his friendship once I got to his office because, as you know, I've worked for his particular organization, the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities, and I've worked with a lot of the clients. And early on, I was hearing a guy say that I didn't have a father in my home either, Roach. I was basically raised by women. And unfortunately, at an early age, I went to Lawton, and it was a lot of the older men that I was around who sort of pushed me along and gave me some information on how to to look at things and to read and to study. You know, I went to school, I got my GED and went to college. Your brother, Ray, was one of the ones who sort of pushed me. So fathers are important. Like this Father's Day, fortunately and unfortunately, fortunately I got to eat dinner with one of my sons. Unfortunately, one of my other sons is locked up. And I just got off the line with him at the court virtually. And he was working and everything. Unfortunately, he caught a case. But the system is designed to keep us incarcerated no matter the situation. African-American men are being attacked systematically. You can work and do all the right things. His PO and everybody had a lot of good things to say about him. They emailed the judge. But naturally, as you well know, Roach, they kept him. You know what I mean? So fathers are important. And I just wanted to say again, I wanted to thank Dr. Chapman for all that he's done for me and all the other men and women that he has saved.
Thank you. That's Larry Bing. He was one of my colleagues down at the University of the Department of Corrections. Thank you for calling in, Larry. We got another call on the line. Question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. My name is Juan. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Yes. I met with a lady yesterday. She's African-American in Petersburg, Virginia, and she has a wonderful place. We need a health retreat to take people out of the neighborhood to rebuild their health. And she has 135 acres of land, and she wants to do something wonderful for the community. And I want to volunteer. I'm a construction worker. And I would like to meet with one of you. I'm willing to go up to D.C. My daughter lives there. She's raising two sons. And she and her husband are both engineers. They're both members of the National Society of Black Engineers.
And give your name and number. Go ahead. Huh? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Please give me an opportunity to meet with one of you, especially the Dr. Roach. I called your program about 5 years ago. And nothing worked, but I continue to persevere because the needs in our communities are heartbreaking.
So you've been following our show for 5 years?
No, I called 5 years ago, but nothing happened. But I'm calling again because this just happened yesterday.
Do this.
I would like
give your name.
Go
leave your name
and meet with you.
My leave name your is name Juan and number. Leave your name and number with the engineer, and one of us will contact you. Okay. Thank you for calling us, sir. We appreciate you.
All righty.
All right. Next caller. How did you spend your Father's Day? What experience did you want to share with us about Father's Day? You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. This is Floyd May, Leadership Council for Healthy Communities.
How you doing, Floyd? Home.
I'm doing well. How are you?
And Merry Christmas, Turkey.
Happy New Year. I just wanted to call in to acknowledge and support and congratulate you for including Dr. Chapman on the program this morning. For those who do not know Dr. Chapman and the work that he has been engaged in for his entire career, he's a national treasure. And
That's 15 years ago,
he was one of the founders of the Leadership Conference of Healthy Communities because he recognized that there was not only a great need for treatment, but a reintegration of persons into the community for which they live. And the work that Dr. Chapman has been engaged in for his entire career is a testimony of not only his skill, his belief system, and his acknowledgement of how important it is for the community to support what we are doing. Now, he mentioned that the grant that we are currently engaged in involving returning citizens as well as seniors who have previous issues of drug addiction and treatment. And so the community can really support our efforts by providing those of you who are employers, housing and housing owners. We need shelter as well as gainful employment opportunities for persons who are being reinstituted into our society. So I thank you very much, Rose.
Thank
you. Appreciate you acknowledging this program. And Dr. Chapman, thank you so much for your continued work.
And thank you for calling in, Brother Floyd, man. We appreciate you because we've been in several meetings, man, and just like Frank Malone and Dr. Chapman. Everywhere I go, I see you, Floyd. Everywhere I go, except the police station. You don't go in there. But, man, I want to thank you for what you just said. And believe this, folk, that I left out something. I got three sons. I don't know how to be a father. I still don't. I'm 81. I don't know what to do or how to do it. I never had no connection with my father. In fact, he gave me three things. I went to his house, knocked on his door, and this woman came to the door, and she had one arm. She looked down at her feet, and there was a three-legged dog. So then he took me out back and gave me a car, a Studebaker, and it had no engine. So that was the only, that was the last thoughts I had or in contact with my father. He gave me a car with no motor. He had a woman with one arm and a dog with three legs. And he said, come on in, son, whatever I got, you can share it. So that was my last encounter with my father. And I didn't still don't know how to be a father, but I'm glad that Frank Malone and folks like you, I've been watching y'all through the years. You've taught me what I do. And Saturday was the first time I had a Father's Day event for two of my sons and my grandson. And it brought tears to my eyes. And when you meet, we walked up and we hugged each other. And it was the first time I said, I love you to my sons. They're in his 60s and 50s, man. You know, so I never had that kind of relationship. So it's crucial that we acknowledge the role that the father can play and what he can do, because we need him. What's going on right now, he says, a crime wave. It ain't a crime wave. It's a fatherless wave. Fathers are being taken out of the community. And these are elephants that get our kids back in order. And we can spend $45 million for a parade and fire half a million people and cut the food stamps, Medicaid, and this kind of stuff. Folks, we got to come together. We are hurting. And dig this. I got one thing to say if I pass the mic. There's one thing everybody can do in the world that start to make the world a better place. There's one thing that everybody do this one thing. All we have to do is treat each other how we want to be treated.
Come on.
Treat each other how you want to be treated. We'll take our next caller. Come on.
Roach, before you go, can I drop this on him? Let me drop a couple of nuggets.
Come on.
There's four deposits that every father and man has to make every day. You got to make a deposit into your physical. That's why we got the doctor. You got to make a deposit into your mental health. You got to make a deposit into your spiritual health. And you got to make a deposit into your financial health. That's what we teach. It says in my book, study to show thyself approved. If you don't study nothing, you can't teach nothing, and you can't learn anything. That's what the fatherhood movement is about, teaching men to be better men. Go ahead, Roach.
Go ahead. We take our next caller. Come on. Question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Hello.
Uh-huh. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I won't say my name because I won't compromise my anonymity. But Dr. Chapman, you treated me some years ago, and thanks to your support, I was able to graduate from Howard University at that time. Wow. You may remember who I am now that I've said that, but I just want to thank you for being able to get my diploma from Howard University, thanks to your support and your treatment. And that was one of the most important and powerful things that I've done. So I just want to thank you, Dr. Chapman.
Thank you for calling in. See, now you can see why, one of the reasons why he's been picked, selected as the Father of the Year. This gentleman is off the chain. He's unusual. He's outstanding, and he's very compassionate. And you know what, Doc? I'm older than you, but you're my father. How you do that?
The right man at the right time, in the right place. That could only be God's work. Come on.
Dr. Malone, you said
that. All right.
Come on, speak.
Okay. Dr. Malone, you mentioned that the state of Maryland was given a D minus. Could you explain a little more what that's about?
There's research. Our work is done in research. So we just ain't coming out here trying to teach something. We're trying to change laws. You know, we started with Marion Barry, the D.C. and Maryland commissions for fathers, men, and boys. Our mistake was we didn't fund them properly. But the National Parent Organization did a study, and I can send it to you, on all the states and what they're doing with something called daddying time, the time a father spends with his children. Maryland got a D minus. We've been pushing to pass laws there, such as shared parenting. We couldn't even get it called up on the floor. So there's some work to be done with the people who represent the folk in Maryland to understand the importance of the father and his family. No wonder we having problems with children. They don't have the fatherhood to lead them in the right direction. We got to change that. National Parenting Organization, look it up. It just came out last month.
You know, let me throw this out. You and Dr. Chapman have been on the front line, as other folks have been listening and calling in. What can we do to reach these fathers who are missing out of their kids' lives for whatever reason? What can be done to mobilize or organize or get some of this back together? Because we know, like as with the elephants, if we bring these old bulls back to the corner, you'll see some changes. So we've been working, and think what you mentioned earlier, that housing. We need housing. Folks come out of prison, don't have a place to stay. They don't have nothing to eat. And they can't get a job. You got a man been locked up 50 years and ask him, he's 70 years old, what's your employment prospects? He never had a job in his life. So we got to do this, because when the father come out and everybody waiting on the dad, and dad came out of prison after 50 years, and you think things going to be better, dad can't even buy a bottle of soda. He don't have no money. He don't have no skills. He don't know how to navigate the system. So the father becomes a burden when he comes out of prison to the family. And that further perpetuate that deadbeat dad, dad ain't this. You get a job and you don't have you don't have no take-home pay. Let me shut up and take our next caller, because this is interesting.
Roach, they won't fund us. We got the programs. Every school we've been to, we've been successful. We even went to the one's office. We had 26 young men that had been arrested. When we got finished with them, they made a video about how they're going to change their life. It takes a man to teach a man how to be a man.
Thank you, Frank.
You can't say it. You got to show it. And we have to train the next generation of fathers. It takes training. My father trained me. He was a good man. He put me in a position to be able to train other men. You got to be it. You got to see it. You got to lead it by example.
You just said a mouthful. We'll take our next call. You're right on time with that, Frank. Next caller, please. Question or comment?
Comment to Dr. Chapman.
Come on.
Hey, Dr. Chapman. This is one of your patients, man. You made it possible for me to be drug-free for my father's 90th birthday, man. I want to thank you for being a great father to your family and a great father to many communities, man. You know, he's a very great person, man, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Next caller, please. Question or comment? How did you share one of your Father's Day experiences with us, please? Next caller. Hello. Are you there?
Well, I guess hello?
Yes. Question or comment, please?
I got a comment. My name is Brother Cherry. I want to thank you guys for this powerful platform of patriarchs that are representing our community as responsible men. And, we can collectively continue to do what you have already set in motion and just reach out to one another. That's the easiest way that we can really connect dots. We all know one another. We only three to four people from somebody that we know, because D.C., Maryland, Virginia, well, those states are bigger, but D.C. is a small square, and we all know somebody that knows somebody. And all we have to do is continue to encourage each one, teach one about fatherhood, because we all bring something to the table. And Frank Dr. Frank is one of the greatest brothers that I know. And anytime he called me to assemble to be where he is, I respond. It's all about responding. It's all about being responsible. And we all reach one and teach one, man, because it takes iron to shine.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate your call. We got a few minutes left. Dr.
Chapman. Before you go.
Wait a minute, Frank.
Go ahead.
Dr. Chapman and Frank. Can you share, Dr. Chapman, with you a message to fathers who are listening to the show, how they can improve and be a better father? Or what can they do to help their families in the community? You first, Dr. Chapman, then Dr. Malone.
So Roach, you and I have visited, along with Dr. Waldo, a number of vacant housing in this city. And as you pointed out over and over again, just imagine what would happen if we had two hotels big enough to hold 1,000 people. We have the people who have been there, done that, that can control that environment, can do the mentoring, can do the support work for people who are homeless or people who are coming out of incarceration. So my dream is that we would be able to get two hotel-sized buildings, and we can bring in, we have the resources, the reach to Georgetown Medical School, to George Washington Medical School, to Howard University Medical School, and I guarantee you that we can get the resources to do physical examinations, triage, so that these people are given the health care that they need. And of course, the connections to social services, so that we can move those who can go to housing, to live alone, those who need supportive housing, and those who need hospitalization. We can do that, and we've reached out into the community. That's why we brought Brother Tate in with the crews, as well as Lawrence Watson and others, Reggie, Howard with the OGs. We have the resources. We have the people in the community that can do the work.
I'm sorry, Frank. We got 30 seconds left.
Can't give me 30 seconds. Well, anyway,
well, if you,
we have the program. It's called My Father's House.
Come on.
We already got it written up. We need $1 million to open up my father's house. Put men back together.
Beautiful.
Here's what you gotta have. Love, command, to instruct, to guide in war, to train, to rebuke, to restrain, to punish, to
thank
chase.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. Our time is up. We got to go, brother. We ran out of time. I want to thank Dr. Edwin Chapman and Dr. Frank Malone for joining us this morning on our special fatherhood day. Sorry we ran out of time, Frank. We'll see y'all next time. You will be back. And thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ, for all you do. Bless
folks, look out for your fathers. Even though they won't be here, you know what I'm saying? Do something to reach to help them fathers to bring them back to solve our community, because we can't make it. The women need it. And one of the things that turns me off, we go out for dinner once or twice a week, and I see 10, 15, 20 ladies, and there's no men there. These women coming out by themselves, nobody wants them. Thank you for tuning out to Crossroads. We'll see you next Tuesday. This is Roach and Martine. Remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. 'Cause I...
WPFW, in collaboration with the Josephine Butler Center, present the Jazz and Justice Festival, Sunday, June 22nd, noon until 8 p.m. An activation of music, poetry, social justice teach-ins, visual art, wellness, children's activities, and more in Malcolm X Park. WPFW personalities Saiz Kamaluddin, Kaba Soul Singer, and Proverbs Reggae Band will be among the performers, with sets by DJ Lance Reynolds and Underdog. Also featured will be an art show curated by Adrian Ferguson of The Art of Noise and a community curated by Milani Douglas. Stay tuned to WPFW for updates and details.
Are you in the process of writing or updating your will, trust, or estate plan? We invite you to consider adding WPFW as a beneficiary through a charitable bequest. Bequests can take many forms and are usually the largest and most impactful gift a donor will ever make. Your bequest will help to ensure the programming WPFW has provided for almost 50 years will continue into the future. More info available by email at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or by phone at 202-588-0999, extension 344. Or you can let us know you've already included PFW in your plans through those same channels so we can add your name to our growing list of legacy listeners. We are listener supported. We are Jazz and Justice. And because of your support, we are WPFW.
Greetings. This is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, Thursday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Free your mind!
Peace, family. On Sunday, June 22nd, at WPFW's Jazz and Justice Festival at Malcolm X Park, WPFW invites community filmmakers to join the music. During the festival, in the Josephine Butler Park Center next to Malcolm X Park, WPFW will host a community film showcase celebrating liberatory stories of resistance, resilience, and rhythm. Short works, 12 minutes or less, whether first-time experiments or seasoned productions, will be welcomed for submission at films@wpfw.org. Submissions will remain open through midnight, Wednesday, June 18th.
vocal polish is secondary to vision, heart, and voice. This is an open call, and there is space for every perspective that fits under the 12-minute time limitation and reflects our community's values. Once more, the submission email address is films@wp.